Hi, I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Justice.
We plan on discussing the culture of the end times every other week, and we hope you'll join us. This is the last day of April 2022, and it's actually kind of sunny here in Northeast Ohio, which is wild, especially for April.
It's gonna rain literally in like 2 hours.
Great.
It'll be awesome.
Great. Thank you, Cleveland. Thank you. What are we doing? Who are we? And all that good stuff. I figure we should give you, the listener, a little bit of an idea of who we are and why we're talking to you. So, myself, I'm Chris. I'm mixed race. I identify as Black. So that'll be important for some of the context that we discuss. I am currently upper middle class, because here we think class is important. It's good to understand sort of those bits and pieces. Definitely came from a lower middle class upbringing, and that has definitely informed some of the things that I believe and some of the content that I consume. So definitely good to keep in mind. As far as gender and sexuality, that stuff is weird and crazy. So I identify as queer. We're gonna leave that there, and we can unpack that as we go along. We'll have plenty of content that touches on that, where we can get into more detail. But that's also a bit of a lens that we're gonna look at some of this stuff through. And I'm a little bit of a commie, little bit of a commie, just a unpa, so just a touch. So that also, you know, speaking of class, informs some of the analysis and some of the discussion that we're going to have going on here. Well, what are we going to be talking about? Well, we're going to be talking about culture. And as part of that, it's important to me that you know that Justice and I both consume a fair amount of culture. So to give you an example of some of the culture that I'm consuming currently, I will start off with a couple of books that I have on deck that I'm in the middle of.
Yep.
So right now, The Light from Uncommon Stars, I'm about halfway through that, and my God, is it delightful. Not only is it delightful, but it's a book that's very much about sci-fi fantasy themes, but also about music, which, hey, that's another thing that we're going to talk a bunch about on this podcast.
We're going to talk about all those fun things, including, you know, specifically like bands and stuff, because I know my specific approach to that is very different. Because it's just ska. I'm kidding. So what are you listening to right now?
I've sort of fallen back on an old favorite of mine for a lot of my listening. So this has been a very Mitski heavy week. She just released a new album this year. I got my vinyl copy the week of my birthday. So that was like an exciting little present from Mitski to me.
That's exciting.
And you know, I've been thoroughly enjoying the new album, and so that's been something I've finally had a chance to really dig into recently, which has been great because it's fantastic. I've also been listening to some music that is either music from some shows that I love or music from video games that I love. So one of the things that actually The Light from Uncommon Stars has sort of led me back into is because of the way it discusses music, it's made me sit down at the piano a bunch more. And I play the keyboards. It's a thing that I like to do. And so one of the things that I've found myself doing a lot over this last week is, you know, picking back up on some pieces that I was looking at before, like the theme from Yuri on Ice, the City of Tears theme from Hollow Knight, these piano-driven pieces from different media that just have an important and special place in my heart. And it's like, you know what? I should sit down and spend some time with those.
You should... Not that I would ever demand anything of you, Chris, but the House Moving Castle little walk scene, you should learn that on a piano, because I really like that track from that specific thing. I don't know how important House Moving Castle is to you from a media perspective, but I'm going to make you read that book eventually. Did I already make you read that book? No.
No. You have not yet. Maybe read that book. We were this close. We were very, very close to reading it before. It is... one of my, I go back and forth on my favorite Miyazaki, and Howl's is always up at the top of that list. So that is also important media to me. And good news, that's on the list of songs to learn. So
yes,
it's going to happen. definitely music, listening to, playing, and you know, Justice, I'm sure when we talk a little bit more about you, you'll get into your own experience with listening and playing music, but you know, definitely important for both of us to not just take music in, but to, you know, at least try to produce some music every once in a while.
Yeah, being creative is a fascinating endeavor, especially when you used to do it a whole bunch, and it can influence how you now like appreciate something. Because I think I've screamed about entire albums just because, man, the way they recorded the drums on this is great. So,
yes, it's fantastic. Outside of some of that music listening, I do also listen to some other podcasts, as you know, I guess there are technically other podcasts that exist.
Technically,
yes. Mostly, recently I've been listening to stuff that's been sort of, politically themed around the courts. There's a podcast called 5-4 that is mostly about the ways in which the Supreme Court, can make us all very sad, which I think right now is, keenly relevant. Boom Lawyered is specifically about reproductive justice, but they've got a lot of Supreme Court related things to talk about recently as well. So another court-based podcast that's definitely a prime listen for me. But outside of that, really, really love Waypoint's video game podcast and Friends at the Table, you know, from Austin Walker, Waypoint co-founder and alum. That's definitely my wheelhouse right there. Like a bunch of really smart, nerdy, queer folks talking about video games.
In a very smart and intelligent way, right?
Yes.
And also yes. Understanding that video games are also interesting. From multiple perspectives.
Absolutely. Video games, which you often play on the TV, are not the only thing that I like to use that TV for. One of what will be this podcast's favorite TV shows is a constant in my apartment. The show Psych. It is a comfort watch for me. I do not know how many times I have rewatched it because the number is too high. Can't count that high anymore.
I don't think there is a time other than like you watching an occasional Twitch stream where I have walked into your house and I have not seen Psych at least paused or in motion, right? Yes. Like it is 9 times out of 10 I walk through and Hulu's like, would you like to watch another episode of Psych?
Yeah, because for me the answer is always yes. It's always yes. So yes, that's a very, very important touchstone for me. It is definitely comfort viewing, and I think it's a very smart comedy. It's very difficult to make an hour-long comedy, and they did it. They did it for years.
Yeah, so. Not only is it hard to make something funny, but it's hard to make something for at least 50 minutes.
Yes!
Which is why we'll never record an episode longer than 45.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've been pretty bad about watching new TV recently, but I did finally sit down and make some time for a few episodes of Our Flag Means Death. And oh boy, that's been delightful so far. I'm not quite halfway through it, but I love what I'm seeing. It's been a very good time. And my understanding is that like it's already kind of gay. My understanding is it gets real gay by the end. So
I believe you're right. I think I've fallen off somewhere around episode 3 or 4. Not because I was not interested, but just because like me sticking with anything like that is nigh impossible. My understanding is that is the direction that it seems to want to dabble in.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out more about that. And I hope that all of the rumors are true. It's what I'm crossing my fingers for. So we'll see there. I've been told that it is, I'm legally obligated to mention this, by our producers, by which I mean just by justice.
Yes.
I have to say I am a vegan.
Wow. I can't believe you're so bold.
I know. I don't love to bring it up. I've definitely heard a lot of people mention that they know that one vegan who can't stop talking about it and just makes them feel bad about not being vegan. And I personally feel like your dietary decisions and preferences are very personal to you. There are a lot of different reasons that people eat the ways that they do, including cultural, including, you know, as a source of togetherness and family and a bunch of other things. And so I'd be very hesitant to tell somebody that them being vegan is the right thing for them without having any other context to go by. Now, I can say it is the right thing for me. So far, it has worked out okay. Occasionally, I don't get to have the best part of the feta salad we're ordering. Sometimes a server will let me know that I'm missing out on the thing that truly makes the dish great.
You know, I think it's the goat cheese, Chris. I think it's the goat cheese on the feta salad is what you actually want. Oh, you did order an entire vegan pizza. Huh. Yeah. I wonder if those two things are related on why you might not ask for the cheese on your salad.
Yeah. Yeah. I do appreciate that the server's like, oh, no, that's of course. I'm sorry. Of course you want it without the cheese. And then immediately slid in. But it is the best part.
It is the best part. You
know, I get it. I get it. And vegan cheese is still not a solved problem. Look, I know like every couple of years we get out there and we're like, we did it. No, we didn't. We haven't yet. We're working on it. We have our top minds on it. Someday we will finally have that problem solved. It should be right around the same time that we've cracked fission. So
the meats seem to be a more solved problem on the vegan side. But yes, the various types of fats. This is an excuse for me to say the word nut butter because I always enjoy saying nut butter. So this is just an elaborate way for me to throw those two words out there.
That's a very important point that you bring up, Justice. And yeah, I think we should always make as much time as possible for nut butter because it's
important.
It is important. Yes,
it's a valid source of fats and protein that your body needs. It's all in nut butter.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a lot about me. The one last thing I'll say, we've got a video game that I think actually sort of like combines again a lot of these things. It's interesting how much of the media that I'm consuming sort of like weaves a lot of these things together. But Persona 4, which is a video game that's super stylish. Music is incredibly important. It seems like there are a lot of questions about identity and how one presents themselves to the world that are just packed right into the very foundation of that game. I'm only a couple hours in, but already I'm like, oh yeah. As for important context, Justice has been telling me that I should play the Persona games for, it's been a little bit, right?
Years, I think. I think if we're crunching the numbers and doing the math, years.
Yes. Yes, that sounds about right. So yeah. It's finally happening. And of course, immediately I'm like, oh, this is why Justice said I should play these games. This all makes sense.
Yeah, that's not the first time I've been right, and it won't be the last.
Well, you know, Justice, speaking of you being right, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Sure, I would love to. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Justice. I also live in the greater Cleveland area with Chris. We used to live in the same neighborhood, and I've moved out into the suburbs. I am straight. I'm your stereotypical suburban white male. With that comes some of the stuff about class. I grew up mid-class, rural. I am a homeowner, so that means I must be some sort of middle class because there's no other way to accomplish that, I don't think. And we can probably talk about that for a good while on hey, what does that mean? And how impossible is that of a goal, especially since as millennials? I said it.
You did say it.
I did say that. But as millennials,
you've invited it into the podcast.
Yeah, I've cursed it into being. But it's a hard goal, and I don't know if it's a goal that's right for everyone. So like mowing lawns, is that for everyone? Who could say? So that also, I'm less of a communist than Chris. Specifically, I'm left-leaning, pretty left-leaning. I find centrists to be annoying, so I would like to envision me as not one. So that's kind of where I am at with that stuff as well. Some media, so some stuff that I like. Let's talk about books. So I don't read as many books as Chris, but I was pretty proud of myself last year for reading way more books than I have in a very long time. We actually are in a book club together with another individual who we're good friends with, and we've been reading a lot of fantasy, so that's kind of bled into a lot of my personal reading. So we've been doing some stuff in the book club, like Brandon Sanderson and some things, the Malazan series with Erickson and some other stuff like that. So I've been avoiding that stuff, totally as much as I can, because we've been getting into so much detailed, nitty-gritty, large scale fantasy. So I kind of flipped the exact opposite direction, and I've been reading as much garbage pop fiction. And I use the word garbage in reverence. Some absolute pop pulp from a book perspective. So I've been getting through this historical series, this historical fiction series about Julius Caesar. That's kind of not great, but I didn't mind the first book. I've been dabbling with some romance themed works. Now, romance powers the entire publishing engine of the American literature. And I think there's some actually really fascinating things that happen with that, and watching trends flow through these genres. So like we've missed the window of vampires. Like we missed it specifically with us, but it means that we can go back and still find absolute garbage nonsense about kissing weird fairy boys. And that's good and interesting to me, because I think there's actually some fascinating things to get out of, like how we perceive specific types of relationships out of that stuff. And it's also a very, from what I'm, at least what I've been shown so far, it's usually a very progressive and also a very feminine oriented entire genre. So I'm interested in actually exploring it more, because there's really fun things to read. I won't go and use the word good, because I don't know if the word good is what I mean. I just mean there's fun things.
Right. Good, depending on what specifically you're looking for in a work. And I'm excited that I think we're going to get a chance, in a way that we don't always in the fantasy book club that we're in. I think we're going to get a chance to talk a little bit about sort of like, the romance genre in general, and how that actually does have a lot of impact and a lot of relevance outside of that genre. But I think we'll also get to talk a bit about fan fiction. And I think there are a lot of really important conversations around fan fiction and the ways in which that interacts with the romance genre, and why some, all of a sudden you've got all these authors who are coming out with these phenomenal first books. You're like, what's going on? And you look back and you go, oh, you had an AO3 account and you've written a lot. Okay.
It's this mind-blowing aspect of like, hey, I think I've made the mistake of trying to pretend to write a book at one point in time. Chris, I'm sure you've probably done the same.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we're both idiots. So, looking at this, and I go, how can these people with this first book write something that's so mind-blowingly good? And it's because this is not their first rodeo. They have been doing this for an extended period of time, except the characters' names were Sonic and Tails and President Obama. Right?
Very important. Again,
very important.
Very important for the culture.
Yeah.
We discussed that.
Yeah. Oh, the Chaos Emeralds. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what I've been into from a book perspective. Some movies that I enjoy. I have made Chris and multiple people watch the 1980s classic, The Wraith. The Wraith is a movie that is very important to me because it is really dumb. And I let that really drive home my approach to a lot of cinema. I like big, stupid, loud things. I do. I love big, stupid, loud things. So all these Marvel movies, I'm not always the biggest fan, but I will totally watch something big and stupid and loud. That, like, 100%. There is not an easier way to convince me to do something. So it's kind of what I've been enjoying there. Other podcasts. So I don't really listen to a lot of other podcasts that aren't gaming related. That is my number one thing I like to do, is talk about and listen to things about video games. So primarily GiantBomb.com and the various Giant Bomb alumni, including sometimes Waypoint as well. I've tried to dabble in some of the fantasy podcasts subgenre of, hey, we're going to tell you a story via a podcast. So due to the region I grew up in and where we currently live, I tried Old Gods of Appalachia. They're actually getting a tabletop role-playing game, which is a thing that I'm also interested in. So I've been trying to go back and catch old episodes of that. I don't know. It's when I'm on a walk. Like, why not? I would listen to audiobooks all the time, so why don't I just listen to another podcast that's more fiction? From a TV perspective, I've been trying to watch a couple things. I watch a lot of anime, and what I will not say is I will not say I am a weeb. I will say I have watched a lot of anime. With that, specifically, I'm watching some new shows that are coming out this season. I watched some shows last season. I don't want to go into details because, again, I don't think it's actually very relevant. It's just a thing I do with my time. According to people, if I do it when the sun is still out, I'm committing sin. So I try to only watch it late at night. One of the things that I actually do really like, though, and we'll I guarantee you that this will come up more than once, is Gundam. So I'm looking at multiple Gunpla on my desk right now. And Gundam, I think, is a really cool thing. I'm probably due for a rewatch very soon of the original series and some of that supplemental material. So when I mean Gundam, I mean the 79 Gundam original Mobile Suit Gundam. So,
oh yeah, I think that is definitely something that we should discuss in far greater detail than we have. And I too, boy, oh boy, it's been a long time since I've watched it. And look, give me a show where they put the kids in the war death machines and deal with all the moral implications thereof, and I'm in.
Chris, I think kids should be sad. I think the kids should be able to be sad. I think that should be allowed. That should be a thing that the kids are allowed to be.
Yeah, you know what? I think if we've learned nothing else from those shows, they're going to be sad no matter what. So you should just let them be sad.
Yeah, I think they're going to be sad. So that's mostly it from a television perspective. I watch other stuff too. I primarily just watch whatever is in the current zeitgeist, because I'm not going out there digging out old episodes of the same show to watch over and over and over, Chris. My brain is only focused on new things. Like, that is my attention span. If something is over, I've thought about rewatching How I Met Your Mother because it's one of my favorite shows, but I just don't have the capability, or these people who watch episodes of Friends or The Office on loop for all of eternity, I don't understand it, because I go, well, I've seen that one, and then my brain immediately shuts it down. I've only recently gotten into like rereading an old book, or like, you know, as we're talking, like rewatching Gundam, so that's just not how my brain works. But I do replay a lot of video games all the time. So that's primarily where I spend a lot of my time, is playing video games. It's probably the, outside of books, the largest other type of media that I consume. I'm currently playing through, and what I mean by currently playing through, I mean currently ignoring Elden Ring. I really like those From games. I've been an original fan of the Demon's Souls game on the PlayStation 3. I bought a PlayStation 3 the minute I saw that thing. So I really enjoy that stuff. I like some tactical things, so I picked up a couple games on PC. There was just a thing that came out of early access called Iron Oath. That's it. That looked pretty good. That looked like a thing that I would like. So, and then I think it's time to replay all of Fire Emblem Three Houses again. So I've put 250 hours into Fire Emblem Three Houses. That's an uncomfortable number to say out loud. So I really like that thing, and I like that thing because it's kind of the culmination of all the stupid things I like, which is dumb anime, romance, relationship, war, sad children. So it's the perfect one of all the things that I've talked about.
I do thoroughly enjoy that Fire Emblem is, hey, what if we did a dating sim and a tactics game, and we put them together? And Persona is like, what if we did a JRPG and a dating sim, and we put them together? I very much appreciate that.
More things should be dating sims, I think, is really, really what we're getting down to.
I think you are correct, yes.
Also, they all have sad children. So, like,
yes, yes.
Win-win, win-win.
Perfect.
Yeah, and that's really, that's a lot about me and about kind of what I've been enjoying and doing. One of the things that I think is critical for a good understanding of kind of what we hope to do with this is to give you a little bit of context around what we're going to try to do and why we're going to record it. So we kind of hinted at a couple things here. There's things that we want to talk about. And what's relevant to me and specific to me is that Chris and I could just talk about this stuff over some beers at a bar. We have done it before. We will do it again.
This is true.
I guarantee it. But we thought it'd be cool if we recorded it and then like put it on the internet.
Yeah, these are topics that are near and dear to our hearts. And I think particularly with everything that's going on, it's I think good to see a perspective on some of these things that lines up with what I think our perspective is. I think, you know, we mentioned that we want to bring an optimistic take to this. And I think that is particularly important now. And I think it's very easy to fall into a bit of a trap that makes optimism difficult. And I think we'd like to deal with that trap. We'd like to see why that trap happens. We'd like to, you know, give you some reasons why not to fall into the trap and some alternatives to that trap. Because I don't think that trap's fun.
Yeah, right? Like this eternally pessimistic, even I can be very pessimistic. And Chris, I've seen you be negative before. What we're really trying to accomplish is we're trying to look at this stuff and come at it from the perspective that not everything is designed to suck. Someone put work into something, and there should be something there for us to talk about. Whether or not it's good or not does not mean that we can't also enjoy it, as I have mentioned with multiple other pieces of media that I enjoy, right? So, like, not every book has to be a 5-star on Goodreads. It's just facts. Doesn't mean I'm not going to read them. So from that perspective, not everything has to be great, but things have to have interesting ideas still buried in them somewhere, maybe. I don't think I've gotten through a thing yet that was uninteresting, because usually I just put it down and walk away. That's true.
There but, you go.
Yeah. The idea here is kind of, you know, you have some perspective about us that, that there's some things that we want to talk about. And specifically, there's some things that Chris and I want to talk about and then put out there. And then either some other people can email us or talk to us about it, whatever you, if you bump into us on the regular. And that way you kind of know what's up and know what we've thought about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think one of the other key factors here is that, yeah, I think Justice and I both take culture very seriously because we think it's important. And we think it's important not because, oh, you have to do it right, or, oh, only the good stuff is. No, we think it's important because there are good ideas in a lot of these cultural touchstones. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, what you refer to as a garbage romance, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is actually a bad thing. There are some good ideas that are probably packaged in that romance and some interesting things to engage with. And if you throw that out and go, oh, this is garbage, then you're going to miss some very, very important and interesting things that could make your world just, you know, a little bit more fun.
Yeah. With that in mind, we called this thing that we're doing, we called it Cultural Fugazi. So that's kind of our thoughts on culture. So let's talk about our thoughts on Fugazi. So Fugazi is a term. I don't know if everyone is familiar with the term. Fugazi is a band from the DC area, from the punk scene. No. Fugazi, even the band, got that from the term Fugazi, which was typically used in multiple contexts to mean that something is fucked, right? So that's why this is an optimistic take on the culture of the end times, is that sometimes things are just really fucked. So instead of saying culturally things are fucked, we have used the term cultural Fugazi. One, because Fugazi is a great word. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the band. That's how I discovered the word.
It's a good word. It's a very good word.
It's a good word. You know, with that specifically in mind, that's why we're taking a look at, hey, things may be fucked, but here's something. Here's an interesting thing that we can all learn from or can take away from, especially as it relates back to pop culture or culture at large and in general. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the things that we're going to engage with can give us a sense of, like, why is it that it feels like culture is fucked right now? Like, what are the reasons that, because I think a lot of us have that feeling deep in the pit of our stomachs that, oh, things are very bad right now. This is not a good time to be doing stuff. And I think there's a reason that we have that feeling. And I think one of the things that I know I'm personally interested in digging into here is, why do we have that feeling? How much of that feeling is actually justified? Are there any, like, balms or alternatives to that feeling? Like, what can we do to actually wrestle with the Fugazi that is out and about in the world? Because I think we have some options, and I think we should talk about them.
We think we should talk about stuff, and we think that our conversations are interesting enough that you may want to hear them. If that's not true, then don't listen, but hopefully that there's something here that you find relevant and or funny and or interesting. So our approach to the show is going to be a little bit of a couple things. We're probably going to talk about news. I use the word probably, and what I mean is actually, we're going to talk about news, things that are going on in the world at a very high level, talk through either how it impacts us or impacts things that we care about. And then we'll probably select a thing or a couple things and talk through those. What we're looking at now is every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to do a little bit of deep digging into some of these things that we love so much and being able to have a conversation about them. And I think, you know, just as you alluded to this before, I think you and I have a lot of, like, common touchstones, but there are definitely some areas where it's like, hey, let's we should talk about this because we got some opinions.
We are not the same mind entity. We have unique, specific takes on specific things. And I think whenever you and I have a conversation, I'm usually fascinated by the outcome of that conversation, because usually I've learned something. So why not record it? And then we can come back to every time that I've ever done anything stupid, and it can be now recorded and enjoyed fantastic. By others. Yeah.
Right.
Great. And then the other thing is you can actually contact us. So one of the things that we have set up is we have set up an email. So you can email us at fugazipod.com. So that is US at symbol FUGAZIPOD.com. That will send to an inbox that Chris and I both have access to. And if there is something that you think is interesting about a thing that we've said, that is the best way to get a hold of us until something like that changes, and we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Justice, both you and I are definitely interested in developing a community as much as possible. So, you know, by all means, communicating, that would be pretty cool.
Otherwise, we're just screaming into the void alone.
And we'll look, we can do that.
Yeah, that's not a problem. We've been doing that for a long time. We thought we'd scream into the void together.
Right.
With you, the listener at home. So join us. Scream into the void with us. Open your window now and scream outside. And we're going to figure out how to channel those emotions into something that maybe doesn't suck.
Yeah, I like it.
Great. So obviously, you can find us where any and all major podcasts are going to be. This is a way for us to see these feeds. That's a technical thing that you don't care about, but it is very important to me. So I believe that'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, an RSS feed available to you directly via a website at a domain that we will control. That is going to be at fugazipod.com. So the same place you'd email us is a website you should be able to put in and find out more information. One, about Chris and I. Two, about the podcast. And three, how to subscribe to it. I'm really excited about our show art. So as of the time of this recording and what we are publishing, I took a picture of Chris at a bar patio of a place that we frequent, that I used to live above for years and years and years. And it's this great picture of Chris just alone in this background. And I really like the way the colors look. And I like the way that Chris specifically pops out of it. So I've added some text to that thing. And that's what our art is for now.
Oh, delightful.
And then we were going to try to find a good picture with Chris and I, but the only good picture I have of Chris and I is us being absolutely hammered drunk holding a piece of bread. So if you can't find that image, email me and I'll send it to you. It should be on fugazipod.com for now. So if you would like that image, or you'd like that image even bigger and on a higher resolution, email me and I'm happy to send it along.
Yeah, and that's particularly important for me with my commie-leaning heart to just know that it's just us with some bread.
We needed that bread.
We needed that bread really bad.
We did. The bread was good. Yeah, like that was almost a nightmare.
I mean, it was a delightful sourdough, which is one of my favorite kinds of bread. So yeah, it's good.
For sure. All right. So thanks everyone for listening and checking this thing out. Like I said, contact us and at various email things if you want, and you'll hear from us soon.
Yeah, thanks. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Take care.